Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
I have a show and tell for us this morning. They are... Do I have that show and tell next? Yes, excellent. They are these tomatoes. The tomatoes on the left you can see is labeled my homegrown tomato plant, who I love very much and care for night and day. That's all kind of like yellow and wilty. And then the tomato plant literally growing out of the sidewalk is big and green and flourishing, which is funny because it's true, right? Even though the comments underneath this post are absolutely full of people giving advice on how to make the tomato plant on the left a little bit more thriving. But those comments are also full of stories about, hey, this happens to me too. I have just stuff growing in my yard that I didn't plant as compared to the stuff that I did plant and have worked really well at. Tomatoes do really well from lost seeds, don't they? They do really poorly where you wanted them, but they do really well from just seeds that fall somewhere. At my house, we always, every year, have a different mutant squash growing out of the compost pile. And often they come out actually pretty well. They are mutant squash because that's how they grow. There's like botanical reasons for that. But often they come out well. We don't plant squash anymore. They just happen. But life finds a way, like the guy said. And the way that life finds is usually not the way that I would have chosen for life to find. So that's your show and tell this morning.
Let us pray. O God, by your Holy Spirit, tell us what we need to hear and show us what we ought to do to follow Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today's scripture is a reading from Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, which can be found on page 46 of the New Testament in your pew Bible or on the screens. Please follow along as I read. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there, while the whole crowd was beside the sea on land. He began to teach them many things in parables, and in his teachings he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell along thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell on good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he said, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." When he was alone, those that were around him began... When he was alone, those who were around him along with the 12 asked him about the parables, and he said to them, "To you has been given a secret to the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look but not perceive, and may indeed listen but not understand, so that they may not turn against and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word was sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. But they have no root and endure only for a while. Then, when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things to come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100 fold. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In this chapter 4 of Mark, Jesus tells all the parables. He just keeps going and going and going. And so we paused for a brief musical interlude while Jesus was catching his breath before he went on. So this follows immediately after what Lisa just read for us. Jesus said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under the bushel basket or under the bed and not on the lampstand? For there is nothing hidden except to be disclosed, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Let anyone with ears to hear listen." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given you. For to those who have, more will be given, and from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Now you can tell that Jesus is teaching in a time, a place, a climate that does not know about January. And so he's giving us all of these wonderful, amazing growth and harvest images. So just kind of hang on to that as your hope for the remainder of the year. You can also tell that the Bible was originally written in a language not English, because how could we have all these stories about grain, and then Jesus says, "Let everyone with ears to hear listen," and he didn't make a joke about that. Okay. Here's where we actually start. Kurt lived with his Aunt Janet. And Aunt Janet always told Kurt, when things are bad, you can find a way to be part of the solution. And there was plenty to solve in Kurt's life. See, Kurt lived with his Aunt Janet because Janet's sister, Kurt's mother, had died. And Kurt's dad, well, he was never around, and that was honestly just as well. So Janet was the solution. So she knew what she was talking about when she said, when things are bad, find a way to be part of the solution. Until Janet got sick herself, and she couldn't support Kurt through school anymore. And to be honest, Kurt's friends were not helping either. It was really hard to keep his grades up, to keep a job, to keep sober, to keep out of jail, to keep housed. And so Kurt ended up in an emergency shelter on a frigid, frigid night in a place that did know about January. And that emergency shelter was full of stories that were just as hopeless as Kurt's story. Well, Jesus, sitting there in a boat out on the lake so that the crowd doesn't crush him, speaks to that crowd, and it's a crowd that is just as hopeless as the crowd that gathered with Kurt in that emergency shelter on that night. These people with their hopeless stories, they were kind of unusually attracted to this apocalyptic preacher who was talking all about the kingdom of God that nobody in the room understood. But Jesus sat there like the sower in that first parable that Lisa read for us, just planting the seed of the kingdom of God everywhere he could, including in this crowd that was just full of what the religious leaders would call bad soil. Now, bad soil, that term doesn't really sit well with me, because what Jesus describes when he talks about these soils that don't bear fruit, he's describing what sound a lot to me like circumstances beyond people's control. When we reflect compassionately on the circumstances that people find themselves in, we see that most of the patterns of life that people live in, they come from situations and relationships as much as they come from any specific choice that any particular individual makes. And at any rate, Jesus' ministry is not about choosing the good people. Jesus' ministry is about changing lives, no matter how those lives got in the way that they are. So just like last week, Jesus is spending time not where human wisdom would spend time, but Jesus is spending time with people that the good religious people really can't understand. The good religious people really can't understand what Jesus is all about here. Jesus wants us to know that there's no human way for us to know just exactly where the kingdom of heaven is going to take root. But it takes root most often in the lives of people who have nothing else to lose. So then Jesus goes on and he tells those additional stories about seeds, about how the kingdom of God grows at its own pace. It grows with or without our expert help. And in fact, our expertise often gets in the way of how the kingdom of God actually grows. Which is not to say that every farmer doesn't know something about how seeds grow. There is expertise that comes from generations being rooted in the land. But farmers also know that the harvest depends not only on what you do, it depends on weather and circumstance and things that happen beyond the farmer's control. And even expert botanists in their carefully controlled lab settings, they acknowledge that there is mystery and uncertainty in the life that they study. As the Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, "I planted, somebody else watered, but it is God who gave the growth." And so Jesus calls us, as he talks about the kingdom of God, he calls us to humility. The humility of understanding that no matter how much we do, it is not ultimately about us and what we do. We can always be open to God's activity, and humility is really that openness to what God is doing. And God is usually doing something beyond our own capacity to make things happen. And even so, humility, the other side of it, is always being ready to do our part, to step up, to know where we belong and how we can be part of some larger story. Humility is about knowing that we are part of that larger story, which may be why Jesus taught with stories as much as he did. Jesus taught with stories because he was preparing disciples. He was not just sharing information. He was forming disciples to be ready to go out into the world to live the kingdom of God on their own two feet. And stories teach us what to do in a way that rules really don't teach us exactly what to do. Rules will teach us how to stay in line. Stories will teach us how to be. Something you missed between last week and now, Jesus chose 12 of his disciples to name as apostles, and now he's getting ready to send those apostles out into the world to go out and gather people beyond where Jesus, as this one human divine life, can go. The disciples, the apostles, are about to be sent out into the world to gather the kingdom of God bigger than it was before. So if the seed is the word of God, the disciples are about to go and spread that seed again to everyone without regard for the human assumptions that make us decide who it is we think belongs in the kingdom. And no matter how well the disciples are received, they're not going to see the outcome of what they do. There's no way those disciples wandering around in the ancient Middle East could have possibly imagined a bunch of Presbyterians in Iowa on YouTube sharing the Word of God. But even after Jesus' death and resurrection, the church continued to spread, and that seed continued to spread by the Holy Spirit in ways that we could never truly understand or even predict today. And the church continues today going out into the world to live into that kingdom story, which one good Presbyterian volunteer did at that emergency shelter one frigid January night. And the volunteer showed up ready to go, expecting to help make everything work for these folks who were in the emergency shelter. But whoever was on the time clock at the emergency shelter that night, Kurt was the one in charge. Kurt was the leader of the operation. He arrived just as the doors officially opened, and he got right down to work. And Kurt took pride in caring for his guests' needs and relationships. And he knew just how to set up the room and distribute supplies. Now, Kurt had nowhere else to be, nowhere else he could have been that frigid January night, but he knew just where he needed to be right then. He knew whom to expect. He knew where they would be most at home. He navigated the relationships and the conflicts that arise in the shelter. He navigated those with skill and with care and with a wisdom that was deeply hard-earned. And it was community inside there, protected from the frigid temperatures. There was a classic movie on the screen at night. There was bad coffee and stale donuts in the morning, just like there should be. And there were neighbors, and there were friends, and there were frenemies all sharing space with each other that night. There was even a dog who technically may or may not have been allowed, but no one was going to say no. And if anybody had, Kurt would have overridden them anyway. And Kurt was justifiably proud of his role there. Some pride is a form of humility. Kurt was proud that where there was no hope, he found a way to be part of the solution, and he was proud of that community he helped to build, the kingdom of God that he helped to live into that night. When Jesus tells us these stories, that's what he's teaching us how to see. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
When the seed that we scatter bears fruit, then it is for sharing. And so we share that good fruit with the world today. This week, Covenant's youth group is going to be volunteering at the DMARC warehouse as they sort in-kind food donations. We have been collecting food donations for the youth group to take with them, and they are right here in front of us today. Your contributions are a tangible way for Covenant to share with our neighbors in need. The Des Moines Area Religious Council knows that people of faith and conscience can all come together for the purpose of meeting basic needs for our neighbors. People seeking assistance can go to one of 14 partner food pantry sites, including the Urbandale food pantry we talked about last week, as well as numerous mobile food pantry sites. Every family can receive a 3-day supply of food once per month at no cost. We thank you for all the gifts that you provide for Covenant's life and mission. You may have given in the offering box as you came in this morning or last week. Your contribution may have come to the church in the mail. You can even donate online at wdmcovenant.org right now. As we dedicate this morning's offering, we especially pray for God's work through these donations to the DMARC Food Pantry Network.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.